Hello, thank you for listening today and downloading the Grace Tabernacle podcast. We invite you to journey with us as we transform our hearts and focus our eyes to worship. Our mission statement is presenting Jesus, the revelation of grace and truth that transforms lives. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful for achieving the goal of growing closer with Christ. Now let's join in fellowship with a message.
Amen. God is good. You know, I'm running, jogging right now, so when I'm 50 years old and she's 17, I can still fight. I figure I better get myself in shape. No, I'm just joking about the fight part. Well, you may want to fight when they come run up in my house. You know, I've never had a pastor do that. God has used us to plant, to revive multiple campuses. And my experience, I'm just going to keep it real, my experience with other clergy has been negative and critical. I've had them tell me, sit me down and tell me, there's a big fence in the middle of the city, Derek. You stay on your side and I'll stay on mine. I've never had a pastor stand me up. I'll never forget this. Believe that. I've never had a pastor stand me up and tell his congregation that we're going to plant a church. And I mean, that was enough. But then to take up a financial offering, most pastors act like they don't even know you when you come into town. Like, Derek, who? And then they tell their church, don't go over there. That's my experience. And that's horrible. I've never thought that way. I found a pastor that thinks like we do. That's amazing. God will bless him for that. Well, I had this word. I didn't know what Pastor Gary was going to do today. And it fits because last week I sat and listened to his word and he preached about keeping the main thing, part three. And he spoke about Mary and Martha, and Mary had the revelation of what the main thing was. It was his grace. And Martha, of course, was trying to works base her gospel in serving Jesus by acts of service. And Mary was worshiping and serving Jesus by receiving. I thought that was really a great message. And when Pastor Gary asked me to preach, I said, you know what, I'd like to preach part four of keeping the main thing, the main thing. And I began to think about that, and I said, you know what, Pastor Gary showed us what part three was. Here is what the main thing is, receiving the grace of Jesus Christ. Well, then I said, well, what does the main thing look like? Now, I know what we learned last week, what it is to keep the main thing, we have to understand what the main thing is. The main thing is receiving God's grace and worshiping Jesus, not trying to earn his love or work towards his power and might, but to receive everything gave to us. Mary had something that Martha was trying to work through, so she received the main thing. Then I said, man, but what does it look like when the main thing is truly the main thing? Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I ask you for grace to bring this word today to your people, that the Spirit of the living God will anoint me, that your word will go forth, that it will not return void, God, that you get the glory. It's nothing that I do. God, you know my defects. You know my mess. So every time I preach your word, I'm just thankful that you chose me. I want to know, how does a believer act? I'm going to talk about Mary again. Mark chapter 14, verse 1 through 9. Mark chapter 14, verse 1 through 9. It was now 2 days before Passover and the festival of unleavened bread. The leading priest and the teachers of religious law were still looking for an opportunity to capture Jesus secretly and kill him. But not during the Passover celebration, they agreed, or the people may riot. Meanwhile, Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon, a man who had previously had leprosy. And while he was eating, a woman came in with a beautiful alabaster jar of expensive perfume made from essence of nard. She broke open the jar and poured the perfume over his head, and some of those at the table were mad. "Why waste such expensive perfume?" they asked. "It could have been sold for a year's wages and the money given to the poor." So they scolded her harshly. But Jesus replied, "Leave her alone. Why criticize her for doing such a good thing to me?" Remember, last week there was one thing she needed to do. "Why criticize her for doing such a good thing to me? You will always have the poor among you, and you can help them whenever you want to, but you will not always have me. She has done what she could and has anointed my body for burial ahead of time. I tell you the truth, wherever the good news is preached throughout the world, this woman's deed will be remembered and discussed." I think about the historical context of the scripture because Jesus is making waves. How many of you know whenever Jesus comes on the scene in anything, two things always happen? The city is moved toward revival, just like the Apostle Paul, or the city is moved toward riot. Jesus is a ground shaker. He's one that will step on the scene and cause you to get so uncomfortable that you can barely keep your eyes open. Jesus is the only God that began. He loves to rock the boat. My God, you got to watch him. Jesus shows up on the scene and he does all kinds of things that we would think are abnormal. He will cause four men to open up the roof and dig a hole in the middle of a revival and let down a crippled man down at his feet. I'm telling you, Jesus is the master at doing things that we would think are crazy. God, I told my wife, we resigned our churches in New York. I said, "God's the only boss that would tell me to quit my job without having another one." Now, Jesus is making waves. The religious people who don't understand what the main thing is, they are looking at religious law and looking at condemnation and a bunch of do's and don'ts, rules and regulations, and how they are supposed to present themselves holy. They are whitewashed tombs. On the outside, they look really religious, but on the inside, they are contaminated like everybody else. And Jesus begins to make waves, and the religious leaders of the day are figuring out a way to set him up. They're trying to trap him. In Mark chapter 13 and Mark chapter 12, they're trying to trap him and asking him questions, and he is just setting everybody back on their heels, scratching their head, trying to figure out, where did he come from? We can't get him to do anything that would give us enough to execute him. They were amazed at his knowledge of the word. They are amazed at his wisdom. They are amazed at all the giftings that he had. They're thinking to himself, isn't this the son of the carpenter that used to build chairs and tables? And now he is moving in the power of the Spirit. And he is taking the religious Pharisees and causing them to look crazy and ignorant and dumb. They can't figure it out. And then 2 days before Passover, the story's in all of the Gospels. It has a different spin on each one. Each narrator, each storyteller gives this story through his perspective. Now, Mark doesn't give the name of the woman, but the woman that breaks the alabaster flask is the same woman that was sitting at the feet of Jesus, Mary. Mary had to deal with criticism because she had grabbed the revelation that no one else grabbed. She understood that really what Jesus really wants us to do is worship him and love him. And out of worship and love will come acts of service. But when acts of service is our God, we're not keeping the main thing the main thing. And when you have a believer that understands that worshiping God is what God wants, then your service would be so graceful and so easy. You don't get burned out when you do what God has called you to do. And she sits there, and Jesus comes into Simon the leper. He's already broken a rule. I mean, here's a leprosy. I mean, Simon would have to get permission by the religious people. Hey, I got healed by God. Is it okay if I come back into society? Jesus healed me. I wonder how he explained that to the Pharisees. They said, listen, the guy that you're trying to kill actually healed me. Is it okay if I hang out with you guys again? Because up until this point, I was a leper. I was unclean. So you would not let me associate with anything that had to do with Jewish ceremonial law or the worship of Yahweh or the temple. I was excluded and ostracized because I had something that was ill in my body. And you've got something ill in your body, but yet you can see mine. We just can't see yours. Jesus comes to Bethany into the house of Simon the leper, and he is sitting there. And now Jesus, the disciples are around him. It's funny that Jesus' disciples still didn't understand what the main thing was. They are out following Jesus for what they could get, not what they could give to him. They are looking at Jesus like a Santa Claus will follow you, because up until this point, Jesus was the answer to all their Roman oppression. We are following Jesus for what we can get. We are going to get to sit at his left and his right when he becomes the next king of Israel in the natural. He's going to free us from all the Roman oppression and the taxation and all the levies and the burdens that physically have been put upon us. They still had no idea who they were actually following. It wouldn't be till he was crucified and resurrected on the third day and appeared to them and then meet them in the upper room that they would have the full revelation of the God that they followed for 3.5 years in about a 50 to 45 mile radius. It wouldn't be till he dies and rises again that they get the full revelation of what the main thing actually was. And Jesus is sitting there, and this woman's about to rock the boat. And she comes in, and they're all sitting at the table. You got to understand Jewish custom. This is how they would sit. They'd have this little table on the ground, and Jesus would have his elbow at the table and his feet kicked out, and they would all line up around this table. They didn't have chairs. Pretty uncomfortable, if you ask me. I'd stand up and eat. I've been locked up enough. I can just stand up. His disciples are there. And you know Judas the witch is there. He's in there. And she comes in and she takes this alabaster flask. And the scripture says it's about a year's wages. Listen, she is about to break open a flask that cost a year's wages. She would have to work an entire year for the offering she's about to give to Jesus. Most of us never done that. Most of us have never given that kind. There's a knock. She comes into the room and Jesus is sitting down. Listen, I don't know if it just happened naturally. She had to work through it for a couple days. I know if God calls me to give sacrificially. Here's the thing. It's not an offering until it hurts. See, it's easy to give something, but when God says give something and it hurts, then you understand that's an offering. Oh, I can give whatever I'm comfortable in giving, but when God moves on my heart and says, I want you to give, oh, it hurts. That's when you know it gets good. Trust me, when God said resign your church, I'm like, when you resign my church, I don't have another job. Oh, it hurt. I told my wife, listen to this. My wife didn't understand what burning the plow meant, but she does now. I called her up. I said, I'm about to make a decision, sweetheart. I feel like God wants me to burn the plow. She says, honey, well, whatever you want to do, I support you. I said, okay. So my old parole officer was there. He watched me resign our paycheck. It's August 25th. He goes back and he tells my wife. My wife sits down. She said, what have you done? She says, are you sure? You sure? I said, that's what burning the plow means, sweetheart. She's like, oh, okay. Okay, I didn't really think that one through. But then the peace of God came into us, and it didn't hurt anymore. It got fun. And, of course, my wife, being a godly woman, she had to take a deep breath, and she says, if that's what God is saying to do, I honor you and support you. I feel good about it. Anyway, side note, it's good to have a wife that supports you. Jesus is sitting in the room. The disciples are there. They've been following Jesus. Jesus is getting popular with the common people, and he's being despised by the religious people. Whenever God is moving in your life, you will notice the religious people will begin to hate you more and more. He sits in the room, and Mary comes in, the same Mary that was sitting at his feet. Jesus had already had to defend her one time. She comes in the room, and she takes a year's salary, and she breaks it and pours it on his head in an act of worship. When people keep the main thing, their worship will always be in brokenness. When people keep the main thing, they don't serve God out of condemnation. They serve God because they realize how much Jesus loved them and because of what he did on the cross and rose on the third day. So every time I come to the throne room of God in worship, I'm coming with brokenness and humility. Why? Because I still can't get a hold of the fact that God would send his only begotten son to die on my behalf, and I'm the one that killed him. You say, oh, you can tell I call them the main thingers. Oh, their worship's a little different. Oh, there's an anointing that comes through when they sing. It doesn't care who gets the credit. Ronald Reagan said it best. Think about how much we can do when we don't care who gets the credit. As long as God gets it. So she's about to rock the Apostle Peter's whole world. James and John, the patriarchs of the early church, are about to get a lesson from a woman who's going to teach them what it is to keep the main thing, and what it looks like, and they'll never forget it. First thing that they realized was, my God, her worship was broken. Can you believe she was willing to break open something that was so important? And if they walked away, this not only was her worship was broken, but she gave him everything she had. She didn't hold nothing back in her worship. She was undone in the presence of Jesus. My God, it was broken. It was all in or all out. It was no gray area in worshiping God. It's either I'm all in or I'm all out. I'm not going to play church anymore. I'm about to give Jesus everything I have. There was brokenness. Oh, when you see brokenness and individuals, it's because they have been through seasons of their life. If God didn't redeem them, they would have died. And you know, when people keep the main thing, it always stirs up a religious devil. Watch this. She had a revelation that the disciples didn't have. She's worshiping Jesus in brokenness, and the disciples are criticizing her. I can't believe you just did that. You just wasted that on Jesus, and we could have sold that and gave it to some ministry or to some acts of service. We could have put it to work, and you have wasted a year's salary giving it to the body of Christ. I've got other ways we could have spent that money. Not just give it to the, there's got to be stipulations on it. Now, we want to give it to the church, but we want the church to use it for this and that. No. She gave it to the body of Christ. And the religious disciples who were walking with Jesus every day, witnessed Jesus raising Lazarus back to life, witnessing Jesus cast out devils, take the demoniac, cast him out, and throw some demons in a herd of swine. They are sitting back, rocked to their very core, because they can't believe that she was willing to break open a year's salary and pour it on the body of Christ. So much so, the Bible says they rebuked her harshly. Look at you. That's crazy. I would never do that. I've got other ideas for that alabaster flask. Your pastor didn't know I was preaching this today. He just demonstrated what the main thing was. He had no idea what I was preaching. Sometimes I have no idea when I'm preaching until I get down in the car. I'm like, oh. It's easy to criticize someone's love for Jesus when you don't know who Jesus is. They criticized because they didn't have the revelation of who Jesus was. She understood something. Watch this. When a believer keeps the main thing, everything they do points the body to a place of revival. Points the body to a place of resurrection. Watch this. She was anointing him for burial because she was anointing his head with oil because she was preparing him for the death, the burial, and the resurrection. The disciples still had no idea what was about to happen. She was coming in and giving an outward sign to the leaders of the church. He is about to be crucified for our sins, but don't get too fret over it because he's about to be resurrected and revived. So what I've got to do is I've got to prepare his body for his revival. Any leader in the church that will point the body of Christ to a position of an awakening and a revival is a believer that has the revelation of what the main thing is in Christ. Everything we do should be moving the body to a place of revival and resurrection power. It's the insecure believers, the Saul spirits, the Jezebels that walk through the side door of the church. It's the gossiping, backbiting, naysayers, criticizers who's always talking about everybody else. They are not pointing the body of Christ to a place of resurrection. They are trying to crucify Jesus again. And the disciples, the rock that God was going to build the church on, criticized her. Why are you worshiping him like that? Why would you give him that much? We got other ideas for that. Why would your pastor stand me up and tell his church I'm planting a church? That wasn't very wise. No, that's spirit-led power. And not only do that, take up a financial offering. I'm gonna put on Facebook, how many other pastors want to follow Pastor Gary's leading? What? Ain't none of them going to answer. Not one. They may be, now they put him on the spot. Like, now, you want to know what keeping the main thing is? Come on, somebody. Can I get an amen? Amen. They'll skip over that Facebook post. No, I didn't see that. Oh, man, I'm not going to do Facebook for 3 weeks. I'm fasting Facebook. Well, every time they see it, they'll see it. We give them the chance to really be disobedient. They criticized her for doing what she was created to do. Jesus says, if you don't worship me or praise me, the very rocks will cry out. She was doing what she was created to do. Give Jesus everything she's got, not only physically, spiritually, and emotionally, but she also gave a visible sign to the rest of the body of Christ what it looks like to be a genuine Christ follower. And they couldn't handle the pressure. You're stretching me on this one, Mary. You mean for me to get the main thing, I need to do that too? Well, you can do it if you want to. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. She had a vision. Her vision was, I am going to make sure I move the body of Jesus to prepare it for his death, his burial, his resurrection. She anointed his head with oil because that was Jewish ceremonial custom ceremony to get it prepared, get him prepared for the tomb, but also to bring it through the process of the resurrection. And watch this, Malan, I won't keep you here forever. When somebody truly has the revelation of Jesus Christ, like Pastor Gary preached last week, what is the main thing? His grace, his mercy, receiving. I love what he said. You receive mercy, you got to find grace. Sometimes my memory gets the best of me. Sometimes I just can't forget. But when a believer truly is operating in what the main thing is, they will leave a fragrance that will last a lifetime. The smell memories. I've been out of the drug life for 12 years, but when I look at a Pyrex machine, a cooker, or when I smell something, it triggers. It takes me back to a bad place. Ether and all of that. But then there's a smell that when you smell it, it brings you back to a happy place. When she broke open the alabaster flask, in the midst of the criticism, there was a smell in the room that stayed with them their entire life. She left a fragrance that even when, I'm sure, when Peter was being crucified upside down for the sake of the gospel, he would remember the smell of Mary giving everything she has to the body of Christ. Her worship was broken. And when she broke that alabaster flask, understand, in that day, when you break it, you can't use it again. Once it's broken, you have to use it at that moment. Once you made the decision to break the vessel that the precious oil was in, you can't pick it back up and put it back in. There's no taking the lid off or putting it back on. Once it is broken, you better use it for whatever you're going to use it for, because a year's salary has just been removed from a physical container into the body of Christ. And the smell she left was amazing. Everybody in the room was intoxicated with her broken worship. They smelt the glory. They smelt the gift she offered. And if it doesn't say this in Scripture, but I'm just paraphrasing. And if she left the room, they sat there, I'm sure, and all they could do was smell the fragrance she left. I wonder what kind of fragrance we leave. It's the question. If I asked your wife, did your husband serve God? Well, most of the time. If I asked your husband, did your wife serve God? Well, what kind of fragrance, Christ followers, are we leaving? I'm working on myself. Sometimes it may smell good. Sometimes it can be horrific. But what kind of fragrance the size of a man's hand. Wow. The smell was so intense that Jesus said to her, she didn't promote herself. She didn't tell everybody what she did for Christ. Jesus told everybody what she did. So much so, 2,000 years later, we're still talking about what she did. Not because of what she said, but what she did. It's what he said about what she did for all of us to receive from and to begin to put in practice. That's what a believer looks like that truly has the revelation of keeping the main thing, the main thing. And that's how they act. That's how you can tell. I want to keep the main thing, the main thing. And when I leave here, I want to leave a fragrance that stays with you. I want to create a fragrance in 5 counties in Central Florida. That unsaved people, when they smell, they say, man, that smells like Jesus. That the clergy that have been stuck in structures and politics and been bogged down with territorialism and insecurity, that have been beaten by people and they have defense mechanisms up and walls to the point where they can't even trust anybody around them and they're doing everything they can just to survive. I want to put a smell back into their life that will arise them up and resurrect the church of Jesus Christ to say, wait a second, I'm not finished yet. I've got my second wind. There's a refreshing coming in my life. There's resurrection power walking through me. Why? Because I smell Jesus again. Please stand. Pastor Gary, do you want to call your prayer team up?
Altar workers. Yeah, altar workers, if you'll come up. You want to get? Yeah.
If anybody needs prayer, my wife and I will come up and pray. And Pastor Gary's altar workers. How many of you want? I just ask you a question. What kind of smell are we leaving behind? Just be honest. If I went to your jobs or your companies and I asked your coworkers, what kind of fragrance do they leave? What if we did a private personal survey and no one would notice what they would say? I'd done that one time and they got mad what everybody said about me. I was like, I probably should think that through. What kind of smell are we leaving? The people get a taste of Jesus when you're around.
Yes, Lord.
What are you giving to the body of Christ? Is your giving and your worship through brokenness? If Jesus asked you today, will you give me everything you have, could you do it? Some of you are like, well, I've got a whole lot. But think about that. I can't answer. I would want to hope I would. What if God said, everything you have, give it to me now? Would you rebuke the devil? Say, that ain't of God, that's the devil. Get out of my head, you lying joker. But think about that. Pastor Gary had said that his offering was down, and he'd bless God for it. His offering wouldn't be down if the church, that's just all of us. See, God will test you sometimes. See if you're willing. He may not want you to, he'll test you. Because he says, if you go ahead, I'll give you a whole bunch more. I want to give you a whole bunch more. I just need to see if I can trust you with what I've already given you. I'm going to give an altar call. Your pastor modeled a marrying example today that I'll never forget. We give an altar call for the believers of Jesus Christ that says, God, I'm ready to be all in to what you're doing. I want to be all in into the kingdom of God. Oh, I'm not just talking finances. I'm talking time. I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about your life. Are you willing to be all in?
Yes.
For Christ? That is you today. We want to pray with you. I'm going to ask you to come down, and our prayer team, Pastor Gary's prayer team, is going to lay hands on you, and I'm going to lay hands on you. We're going to agree together that your next move to the body of Christ comes like Mary did. Brokenness. Come on down, please.
Go ahead. I want to say one thing while you're coming. Sometimes I have to be honest about answering an altar call. Sometimes I have to say something like this to God. Lord, I'm willing to be made willing. Are you hearing? I'm willing for you to make me willing. So I'm going to come in faith that you're going to make my heart to be willing where I may be resistant. So I'm trusting you to do that. So sometimes just be honest with God and say, Lord, I'm willing to be made willing in Jesus' name. And if that's the best you can do, that's fine. God will take it. He'll meet you where you are. Amen. Come on, church. Let us pray and anoint you.